This is Fresh Air. We're about to meet the person who inspired the first verse of Lou Reed's 1973 hit, Walk on the Wild Side.
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked away across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way. Shaved her legs and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side.
The Holly of that song is my guest, Holly Woodlawn. Woodlawn was one of the last of the Andy Warhol superstars. And along with Jackie Curtis and Candy Darling, Woodlawn was known as one of the Warhol girlettes, one of the men who passed as women. Woodlawn is best known for her debut role in the Warhol Paul Morrissey film Trash. She played the girlfriend of a drug dealer, played by Joe D'Alessandro. In this scene, Woodlawn has brought over a prep school boy she's just picked up who wants some drugs. Woodlawn figures she can get some from D'Alessandro.
Listen, hey, you got anything?
No.
Because he wants to come?
Nothing, nothing.
He's got brand.
Yeah, I know, but I don't have anything.
He's from Yonkers.
That's great.
Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah, really great.
Nothing, huh?
Uh-uh. Aren't you glad I cleaned up? Not even
later. He looks nice, looks nice.
But, yeah, he looks great. He's a little kid, ain't he?
So what? He's got bread.
Yeah?
Bread.
You don't want any bread. You want something else.
So what? You can have both.
You can have both.
Right?
Yeah, okay.
It's going to hurt you.
It's not going to hurt
nothing,
me.
Nothing, huh?
No.
Nothing.
Holly Woodlawn has written a new memoir called A Low Life in High Heels. Holly's birth name is Harold Eisenberg. The name Holly was inspired by the character of Holly Golightly in Breakfast at Tiffany's. The Woodlawn part comes from Woodlawn Cemetery. But what was Harold Eisenberg like before he became Holly Woodlawn?
I was, shy and skinny and I had buck teeth and, and gawky looking and stupid looking. I didn't like the way I looked, And then one day, I did, after I moved to New York, and discovered makeup, people started telling me how pretty I was. So, why not? So I stayed that way.
Do you remember the first time you put on a woman's clothes?
Well, actually, it came in spurts. Yeah. As the Lou Reed song goes, Holly came from Miami. I shaved my legs in Atlanta, Georgia, and plucked my eyebrows there. And by the time, I think in North Carolina, I did something else. I put on a blouse and in Philadelphia, the land of brotherly love, pantyhose. And by the time I landed in New York City, I was a full-blown woman.
What did you like about it?
First of all, the fact that I was more comfortable and the attention that I got from,
You got more attention dressed as a woman than as a man.
And I just felt more comfortable, inside, sort of like my soul, so to speak. Yeah, I felt, freer. It was easier for me to speak. Just be. And as Harold, quote unquote, I just was always nervous, couldn't get it out.
Why did you hitchhike across the USA?
Because I only had $11.
Well, why did you leave home?
I was 15. My parents had just found out that I was hanging around with the wrong kind of people, in their eyes. I just discovered, they had just discovered that I was gay, and I was, hanging out with these mad, insane, insane queens in Miami Beach. And they found out, and, we just, it was tough. And I think I wasn't doing too well in school, and I had to go to summer school, and I wanted no part of that. And so some friends of mine said, listen, we're going to New York, and you got to come with us. It's fabulous over there. The streets are paved with diamonds, that diamond dust. And I said, sure, why not? I did. And it wasn't easy at first, but, I sort of stayed on.
Well, you made a living hustling at first.
I did everything at first. I mean, you know.
When you were hustling as a woman, right?
Actually, no. I was hustling more as a transvestite. You know.
So people could tell they were never like surprised.
No, oh no.
When that's they found out what was underneath.
Yeah, that's why I never got in trouble because you know they knew.
It's amazing the way you used to travel back and forth between worlds. You know, like you got a job as a sales girl at Saks. You had modeling jobs in other stores, but you went to beauty school as a man.
Yeah, well, that was in the beginning when I first was sort of like that was. Doing the transition from a man to a female, I was going to beauty school. I was living in Brooklyn, and I was going to school in Manhattan. And I was living in Brooklyn as this guy's wife and going to school as Harold Eisenberg. And so what I would do is I would take the subway from Brooklyn to New York as a woman, go into the bathroom, change into Harold, go to school, and then do the opposite on the way back. And after a while, it just got so tiring that one day I just went to school as Holly. And, well, so much for that. They, you know, threw me out. And then I just, you know, I was also doing hormones, so I had breasts.
You were doing hormones because you were thinking of having a sex change operation.
Yeah,
time.
Actually, twice. Twice we saved up the money. And both times, I just couldn't do it. I had this money in my hand, and instead of when was it? John Hopkins Hospital. Instead of going through with it, I just decided to go shopping.
Why did you decide not to go through with it after saving and preparing for so long?
It's so final. It's just one of those things that there's no turning back, and I just didn't feel I knew yet what I really wanted to be.
Well, looking back now, do you have any regrets about not changing yourself physically?
No, not at all, no. I'm pretty much happy the way I am.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Holly Woodlawn, who's written a new memoir called A Low Life in High Heels, A Walk on the Wild Side with Andy Warhol's Last Superstar. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Holly Woodlawn is my guest. In the introduction to your memoir, Paul Morrissey, who wrote and directed a couple of the films that you are in, the Andy Warhol productions, Trash and Women in Revolt, he says that the first time he came across you, it was in an interview. There was an article that had an interview with you in which you talked about your success as a major star in Andy Warhol productions. And, of course, you'd never been in a Warhol production. Never met you. And Morrissey says this was a brazen lie, but the lie appealed to his comic sense. And he had a hunch that you would be an interesting character. So he called you up and he cast you without meeting you, without auditioning you. He just wanted to give you a shot.
Yeah.
What's your end of the story?
That's what happened. I was in a play and like off Broadway, one of these experimental theater things. And we got some good press, and I was being interviewed for this paper, and I just wanted to be a Warhol, a superstar. I wanted to be a Warhol superstar. I wanted to be one of the Warhol people because I had friends that were, Candy Darling and Jackie Curtis. So I told this interviewer that I was, his next superstar. And when Andy and Paul read it, they thought, who is this person? And they used to see me at Max's all the time. I used to run in screaming and yelling, and with frizzed out hair and lots of eye makeup and short mini dresses. Paul was working on Trash and thought I'd be good in it. And, so I figured, why not? Perfect typecasting.
What was the most outrageous scene that you're in? And I'll ask you to describe it in language we could actually use on the air.
Oh, no, God. My favorite scene is the scene with a welfare worker trying to get my shoes. I'm wearing these silver shoes, and he wants to give me. He'll give me welfare if I give him the shoes. And meanwhile, I have a sister who's pregnant, and so I get the idea that if I stuff a pillow inside my blouse, and that I'll be be eligible for welfare. Anyway, the pillow comes, falls off, and. He wants to turn these shoes into a lamp, but there's another scene that I will never live down with a beer bottle.
Did you feel that you actually fit in with the Warhol crowd once you started working with them?
When I first got involved with that, I always thought, the Warhol, you know, that you had to be insane and do drugs and be crazy and, you know, and that's what made, you know, Warhol superstars, which it did during the 60s. But then, you know, then after, a while, the whole Warhol thing turned into a business. So, specifically after he was shot. And so I came in, you know, sort of late on that part, and I still thought, you know, to be a Warhol star, you just, you know, had to be crazy and demented. And so I really didn't fit in with there. You know, after the movie was done, they just sort of, like, you know, didn't want anything to do with me. And
why?
Oh, because I was that crazy person, and they were a business. They hired me for 6 days to do this film, and after that, it was, you know, forget it. It was over. You know, my job was done. Then the movie went on to, you know, make a lot of money. You know, so I was a little bitter for a while there.
You wanted to be in the spotlight so bad, but you blew your chance to be in the spotlight on the night of the opening of Trash. You were actually in jail that night.
Oh, yes. I was, I only made $125 for Trash. And I was hanging around with a lot of, you know, speed freaks at the time. So, and we knew this girl who was subletting this apartment from a French diplomat's wife. So a friend of mine had the bright idea to, we found her checkbook and, you know, her passport. So anyway, I went, to make a long story short, I went into the UN building, the bank in the UN building, dressed as a Madame Chardonnay, and took out $2,000 out of her checking account and got away with it. And then the drugs, you know, ran out, and then I went back. But the second time, I was just, like, so nervous. I went across the street to this bar and, you know, I had a couple martinis and just went in there screaming with this French accent, you know, and got caught. And they threw me into the women's house of detention, and I stayed there a very short time when they found out what I was. And then they put me in the men's house of detention.
When they first took you to the women's detention center, how come you didn't protest right away? How come you didn't, like, reveal that you were really a man right away before they found out the hard way?
Because I really thought I can get away with it. And I did, you know, I was scared, and I didn't know that, you know, that they were really going to, like, search you. I mean, you know, I've never been in jail. I just thought they'd just throw you into a cell and, you know, whatever.
How did they treat you at that moment of revelation? Were you punished for it more?
The whole thing was humiliating. But the worst part was when they put me in the men's house of detention, and there I was, you know, in this Chanel suit, you know, this, and the only one there, and the guys just went berserk.
Do you see your whole life as theater?
No, not my whole life. But a lot of it, yeah. Especially when I'm dressed up and, you know, making public appearances.
Is that how you're most comfortable when you're transforming life into theater?
No, because I also like, you know, being alone. But it's fun. It's certainly more fun.
What have you been doing for money?
I was working in a novelty shop as a cashier.
Was it an interesting shop where interesting people came?
Oh, yeah, yeah. John Waters used to come in there, Debbie Harry. All my friends would come in and say, Holly, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I'm writing a book.
Did you like people to know that you were Holly Woodlone when you worked in the shop, or did you want to be more anonymous? Did you ever feel bad about having to work that kind of job?
Not really. I mean, it was just fun having something to do. But, you know, for the past 2 years, this book has really, you know, has taken up most of my time. Of course, I lived on the advance.
Right.
And my parents helped me out a lot, too.
You know, it's interesting. You describe in your book how your parents have really stuck with you I guess there was a lot of friction when you initially ran away from home, but or hitchhiked away from home and so on. But you say that over the years they've
With the best of friends. You. My father just read the book. He thinks it's hysterical and doesn't believe a word of it.
Self-protection. Uh-huh. Okay, well, I wish you the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for talking with us.
It was a pleasure.
Holly Woodlawn's new memoir is A Low Life in High Heels. This is Fresh Air.